ho, ho, eh, ho, 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 eh, ho, 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 eh, ho, ho. Young Charlotte lived by the mountainside in a wild and desolate spot. No dwelling there for 3 miles round except her father's cot. And still on many a wintry night, young swains would gather there. For her father kept a social board, and she was young and fair.
Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy Wise. I'm Hardy Wise. Join me now, won't you, as we seize the day together. And then people ask us, what are your demands for letting go of the day? And we say, we didn't really think about it. We didn't get that far. We just seized it without any thought. And so we let go and we run away giggling and get some coffee. That's who I want to be for you, my friend. If I can do that, if you let me into your life, I will let you in to the historic house of my soul. Oh, hello, friends, and welcome. Oh, if you have wandered up to this place because you saw a sign that said historic district, historic house for tour. It doesn't say that. We have to work on the sign. It doesn't need a four in there. You know how when you're painting signs, you just zone out like that and you say, what did I do? Look at all those extra prepositions to between I put in. So listen, I would like to be not only a friend for you, a radio friend, which is almost enough, because just being a friend made of nothing but radiation can be taxing. But I'd like to take it to the next level and be a historic home for you. What are you? You talk about historic homes a lot, don't you, Hardy? You like touring historic places. You like learning about history. I like historic homes. Our country has a very long history of historic homes. We might have invented them. I don't know. But historic homes in this country date back to about, 18th, 19th century. And a lot of them now have been fixed up. In the 20s and 30s, most historic homes were converted to brothels for some reason. But then there was a sudden interest in history in the 50s. I think it was a Edward Bernays PR conspiracy by history book manufacturers. But that's neither here nor there. What happened is, say, hey, we got this old place, and it used to be lived in by a very prominent community member. They say, who lived there? They say, doctor, judge, someone. So let's fix it up. And I bet they had a wonderful, exciting life. Often they do not. Just as your neighbor, who's a circuit court judge, doesn't really have a very exciting life. But wouldn't you love to go in there and look around, decide for yourself? To me, your home is a historic home in the making. That's why I like to misrepresent myself and go to open houses, real estate open houses on the weekend. And I mistakenly ask for the docent instead of the real estate agent. I said, what is all that? And I'm interested in it. And they say, well, those are their possessions. Those aren't for sale. I said, but that's what I'm most interested in. Not taking them. I have my own junk. But I like looking at yours and thinking, what were you thinking? Who could you possibly be? Who would have that color bedspread? That's what I think. And then I know I want everyone to be different. Not everybody's going to say, I want a vintage 70s NFL bedspread. If you were 12 in the 70s, and now, how old would you be now? Too old for that. Bless your heart. But so maybe you're doing a Will Ferrell movie where you're a grown adolescent like that and need set decoration. I don't know what kind of job you have, friends, at my historic house, which is me. You just come on, walk inside. That living room is my abdominal cavity. The chambers of my heart, a bathroom. That's kind of like what it is. Aren't we all a mansion of many, consisting of many, many rooms? I did this this weekend. I like to go out and explore Kentucky. Now, you say Kentucky's been explored. Didn't Daniel Boone do that? Thoroughly. But they've done some building since he was around. So things have changed a little. So his little guidebook is not effective anymore. I've used his tour book. You go, okay, let's look it up. Danville. He'll go, nothing. Nothing there. Right? You know? Frankfurt, nothing. Nothing there. Don't go there. That's because in his day is mostly wilderness. And he was, who was Daniel Boone? He was a cross between a real estate agent and a docent. I think that's why I'm attracted to him. Did he wear a coonskin cap? No, you're thinking of Betty Crocker. Or one of those. But I tell you what, I love history because what I'm doing now is history. It just hasn't aged. That's the same thing with bread. Do you make bread, friends? If you do, you know what is yeast? Yeast is a bacteria. Now, I'm going to be talking about bacteria because I went specifically to the home in Danville, Kentucky, of a certain Dr. Ephraim McDowell. Now, why is he important? Ephraim. I love saying that name. It's so fun because I love anybody who's the second letter of their name is not the sound that it makes. It's a P, but how about that? Because there's an A. You don't know what's coming next. If you were just to see the P, you wouldn't know that there's an H afterwards. You have to wait sometimes for the story to play out before you know that a P is pronounced F. Write that down. All of this can go on T-shirts, y'all. I don't mind. Take anything I say. Bless your heart. If you need something, some positive reinforce yourself, let me be that for you. Let me be that stuff that you buy that you can shoot into cracks and it gets hard. That foam that turns into concrete. Let me be that. Take Hardy White and squeeze me into some kind of empty space in your life. And I will become like cement and you'll never get me out. I'm made of oatmeal. Her father loved to see her dressed as fine as a city belle. For she was the only child he had, and he loved his daughter well. It is New Year's Eve, the sun is down, while beam her longing eyes out at the frosty window for to see the sleighs go by. Whenever I see an old house, I walk into it, and I say, y'all have tours? And they'll say, no, this is a law office. I say, what a waste. I would have loved to know what it was like for the family who lived in it. And they, well, this is a brand new structure, sir. So there was no family. I said, there's been a family everywhere. This is not true. I just say this because I get mad when people point out that I'm wrong about something. I bristle. It is really tough to be corrected. And I think a lot of our anger sometimes comes from embarrassment, does it? Nobody likes to be corrected. Nobody likes to feel embarrassed. And so one of the first things we do is get angry. So you've embarrassed me, anger, and you crush and kill the person. Stop doing this. I'll explain why at the end of the show. Just stop now, and then I'll tell you what. Trust me that I'll give you a good reason for not doing that. But I liked it. Now, let me get back on track. A lot of people say, Hardy, you'll start talking about something. Like last week is split pea soup, and you never got to the point. It's almost like you don't have a point. I don't have a point, sir. Why do I not have a point? Because I'll tell you, because if you have a point, you're going to stick yourself with it. You're going to get stuck with it. Nobody wants to get stuck with a point. Be flexible. This is a practiced sword that I'm wielding. And so there's a little plastic ball on the end of everything I say. And so that it won't hurt you. But I can still, just like we were doing professional epe, score points. And last week, the only thing I was going to say is split pea soup's an old man soup. That's all. It's not what I got to eventually. The point I got to was, I think, much more interesting than that. So sometimes you can just say, you know, if you're passing something, let's say you're taking a car trip and you're going to the Lincoln Birthplace Memorial. And on the passing side, you go, there's a tire store called John Wilkes Booth Tires or something. You don't necessarily stop there and find out why. You just observe and go on. And that's the way that's the way I sometimes do it. So here's just a little something to this is just I have something's in my throat. Something is in my throat. I wonder what's gotten down there. See, since that Star Trek movie with the earwig and Chekhov's ear, I'm worried that something has gone to live in me. We did not always know that bacteria caused infection. We didn't even know there was bacteria. Did you know that? In 1809, when Dr. Ephraim McDowell was knocking around there in Danville, they didn't know this. Now, why is he important? Because he is the first person to successfully take out an ovarian tumor and not have the lady die. You say, how do you know it was a lady? I know it. Well, first of all, ovarian is the giveaway there. But and he did this in 1809. Did abdominal surgeries. The first one to do successful abdominal surgery. Go, in Kentucky? I go, yes. Yes. The first person to do successful abdominal surgery is a man in 1809 in Kentucky. Not only that, he performed the surgery in his guest bedroom. Now, I've done a lot of things in my guest bedroom, like nap, but never have I performed surgery. I don't think that's ever going to happen in there. I know I've been to somebody's, a friend one time said, hey, I got to return somebody's car. Will you drive to her house with me? And I said, yes. And so we drive to Wendy's house. She go, come on inside. Just wants to give her the keys, say hi. We went in, and the woman was giving birth. And I thought, this is, and now we're choosing this time? It was very natural. All right, just leave the keys over there. I'm giving birth. Actually, she just finished. So we saw the baby and everything. And the mother was like, why are you here? And I said, ma'am, I don't know. I'm just was returning a car with a friend, driving them back. But look at now what I've chanced into. And I'd like to talk about chance with you. Because the reason that this lady survived the surgery in 1809 was chance. We say luck. I don't know if it was luck. It was chance. They did the right thing. They just didn't know why they were doing it. Now, isn't that very telling? Sometimes you can do the right thing not knowing you're doing it. That's the whole point of my radio show, friends. I'm on a mission. You say, this just sounds like a friendly neighborhood radio show. Oh, I know, it's disguised. It's like if that historic house, suddenly the facade fell down, the sides fell off, and it wasn't really a house at all. It was a spaceship or a talking house or a talking haunted house or spaceship house, or maybe it was made of, it was fleshy. I don't know what it is. A giant sloth who's for years been disguising himself as a house. So I thought these walls were kind of funny. I thought there was an odor. Yeah, we had a guy come in clean the ducks. Turns out they're sloth vesicles. They're not ducts at all. Hey, we don't know what's inside things sometimes, and we will never know in our lifetime. Now, he died. He didn't ever know about bacteria. He died of a ruptured appendix. Physician, heal thyself. Isn't that, now that's irony, because he's the only person who could have cut himself open. Not terrible. How about that? You're the only one. I can perform surgery on myself. Oh, forget it. I'm not going to. That's not going to happen. I've done it. I performed surgery on myself. I removed a wart with an X-Acto knife and whiskey. Whiskey is always a component. Now, the lady got operated on, she did not have anesthesia. She had, just like rest of us, day to day, just bourbon. So that she just had to get drunk and sing hymns. Now, that was surgical anesthesia. Now, that's most people's mental health regimen that they perform. At a village in 15 miles off, there's a merry ball tonight. The air is cold and piercing, but her heart beats warm and light. Yet restless beams her longing eyes till a well-known sound she hears. When dashing up to the cottage door, young Charlie's sleigh appears. As I was taking this tour of this house, walking around, now the poor man died, I think, in the 1830 or something like that, the doctor. This house went on, people continued to live there and all, and they had done some archaeology in the backyard. I've done that too. You dig around, try to find something. Say, I'm going to find something from the olden times. Look, it's a can of Tab. That's all I get. But they found a little tiny doll, about an inch long, the type from 1850, what they call a frozen Charlotte doll. Now, this became a very popular little item at the time, and then parents would give these little dolls to their children and tell them the story of Fair Charlotte, which comes from a poem, a ballad called Fair Charlotte. And it's about a young lady who goes off in a carriage without wrapping up when it's real cold, and she freezes to death. Just like your mother says you're going to do it. Just like, oh, put that down and put your eye out. You'll catch your death of cold. Well, she did. She got her death of cold. It wasn't like a chew kind of cold. It was she froze through solid. And said, well, this happened to you on an extended carriage ride. If it's cold enough, yes, you can freeze to death. That's very true. So now, why would children want to hear that? I don't know. It makes them go to sleep better. Go to sleep or you'll freeze to death. I don't know. And the little dead, here's a little tiny dead doll, frozen dead thing. So thank you. That's probably where they found it, because the child was like, I got to get this thing, and just flicked it out the window immediately. So I want some kind of koopy doll or something that's going to give me joy, or one that wets or does something. My father gave me a realistic, anatomically a correct doll, and it's just a bloody mess. I keep cutting it open. Now, when he cut this lady open, her tumor had grown to a huge size, this poor dear. She had gone to the doctor months ago, and he said, oh, you're pregnant. Look, you're gaining weight. And she kept gaining weight, and then her belly got huge. And then 9 months went by, and she still hadn't had the baby, and 10 months went by, and then it was starting to look kind of nasty. And he said, you know what? I'm going to call Ephraim McDowell. Ephraim McDowell came over. He said, this ain't no baby. This is a giant tumor. Now, either it's going to explode or kill you, or I can cut you open in my guest bedroom. How many times have we said that to people? And so she traveled 60 miles on horseback with that giant belly tumor. And they went in the bedroom, and on Christmas Day, 1809, he cut her open. And that tumor was too big to get out. And he cut a 9-inch incision, and he still couldn't get it out. So he had to break it up and kind of pull it all out and get it out and clean it out. And he sewed her up. And 5 days later, she was up making her bed. Because he didn't get it infected. Somehow, he kept clean. But it's not like he didn't want her to survive. Sometimes we want things that are lofty. Like, I would love every soul to be healed. I would love the loneliness to be banished. I would love people's minds to be expanded and not be oppressed by themselves so that they feel no need to lash out and oppress others. I'd love this. Now, in the future, we might discover what's causing this. A sort of mental bacteria. Some sort of germs that we cannot see now because we don't have the technology. We do not have microscopes that allow us to see. We don't know what's causing this agony in life. But I tell you, I'd like to be Ephraim McDowell and say, you can either die of it, or you can come on into my guest room, and I can cut you open, and I can try to take out that tumor that's plaguing your ovaries. Now, I'm talking about loneliness, which is not a big bag of nasty fluid. Is it? But it is. Now, maybe I can get that out of you, and maybe I can succeed, but not for the reasons that I think. That's hope to me. That's hope based on reason. I know that Ephraim McDowell succeeded without knowing why. Because coincidentally, he was just very fastidious and clean. And therefore, everything in his house is clean. His hands were clean. His instruments were clean. When he sewed those stitches up, he sealed them with adhesive. He was meticulous. And therefore, inadvertently, he avoided the thing that would have killed her. Bacteria. And so I hope that you're getting the lesson from this, that your hope can be based on the fact that a lot of times people have stumbled on things without knowing why they've done it. Sometimes we do that in art. I'll tell you, music and art and poetry do that all the time. Accidentally, when we're composing a poem or a song, sometimes we say a secret formula. We say some sort of incantation that opens up the entire universe. We don't know. We stumble upon it. Say friend and enter. Just like in that's from Lord of the Rings. You could say, I wonder what... open says me. How did I know that? I just was saying random things. So you don't always have to have knowledge. Sometimes you just have to have... This is how I got through school. I say, what I'll do is I'll put down every answer and make it look like I just half crossed them out. And maybe the teacher will see what she wants to see. Oh, it looks like you didn't cross out giant sloth. And that's the right answer. So, not coelacanth. Idiot. Oh, daughter dear, the mother cries, this blanket around you fold. It's a dreadful night, you know, and you'll catch your death of cold. Oh, nay, fair Charlotte said, and she laughed like a gypsy queen. To ride in blankets muffled up, I never shall be seen.
I tell you, if your mother says, take your coat, take your coat. That's it. You know, because I tell you what, evolution. You come from a long line of people that took their coat. Take your darn coat. That's what I'm saying. If your mother says it, go ahead and do it. Unless it sounds stupid. Like mother says, oh, stick a shish kebab in your ear or something. Don't do that. Mama's crazy. And I'm sure she says that. Maybe that's an expression, though, in your culture in which I pilot. Stick a shish kebab in your ear. We don't have that one. I don't have that one. Use the thermometer incorrectly is one in my family. And we all know what that means. And that goes back to an incident. A lot of things that sayings we have are based on actual incidents. Now, the man who wrote this little ditty, Fair Charlotte, Seba Smith. So there's nobody named Seba Smith. There he is. Seba Smith was the early version of me. One of, like, somebody trying to be folksy, funny and folksy, except in Maine. That's where funny folksy started. Did you know that? So I thought it was a southern thing. No, funny folksy started up in New England. Hey, they had these recordings called Josh. It's Uncle Josh. Uncle Josh. They say Josh. It's Josh. We would say Josh, which where I'm from is that you're a Jewish fraternity boy. But there, apparently, that's an old name from the Bible or something. I know it is. Joshua, not only did he fight the Battle of Jericho, but he also pledged at UF. I forget that. I don't want to call out a specific fraternity. Bless y'all. I'm everybody. Hey, are you everyone's friend? As far as you know, I am. And that's fine. Why don't we start that way? I'd rather start there and then have you realize, uh-oh, maybe not, then start thinking that we're enemy. Let's start as friends, and then, like all friendships, then we'll destroy it, slowly erode it through neglect or through wrong expectations. My friends, whenever I explore these homes, I think I'd like to come into your house and look at it from a historical context. Is this where the children would have lived? Yes, look at all the things they had in their rooms. Very sparse. They just had a crib and they'd sleep there, and they didn't have they had a mattress made of straw, but they didn't have box springs. They'd have rope, and they'd have to tighten the rope every night, and that is where we get the expression, to sleep tight, please follow me. But our modern rooms be not like that. If I went back to my childhood home, if somebody, oh, we're going to recreate Hardy's childhood home. What's in this bedroom? Oh, look, there's a big bass amplifier. What is that? That's a custom with a K, black padded 315 bass cabinet and head in front of that big Jethro, 5 foot Jethro Tull poster of Ian Anderson with his leg up in the air. How about that? Do all children's bedrooms, is that in all children's bedrooms at the time? Yes. Some version of that. Or pendants and trophies. A lot of children saw trophies and everything. A lot of people who've lost a child will keep the trophies and everything to have the room just like that. Just like, it's like in a Charles Dickens novel. Mrs. Fabersham or something said, look at that old room with the wedding dress. It's just like it was. If mine was just like it was, it'd be, oh, look at that old bass cabinet. And in the big, it had things on these big silver holes in it. Oh, I miss that thing. Oh, I tell you what, memories. I wish my life was a museum for you. And I wish I was a docent and I could show you all these things and the memories that have for me and how you create memories. How do you create memories, Hardy? Well, you say, oh, remember. First, you have to pay attention. That's the only payment. That's the only payment I require. So how much is your show to listen to your show? with $7, but I can't. I have no way of getting it from you. So what I want, what I'm asking, is simply that you pay attention, and that's it. And then what I'll do is somehow try to trade that for food.
I love you.
No, I'm telling you, I'm on this mission to make the world better, and I'm hoping that I have accidentally discovered bacteria, soul bacteria. We can't see it. How will we see? Will there be some kind of device will be invented? We'll have something will come out of computers. Maybe the computer will help us see ourselves better. All the quizzes. We take a lot of quizzes on social media, say, which song are you? Which type of flooring are you? Are you that thin bamboo flooring that's made to look like oak planks? What are you? Are you a carpet? Are you a Berber? Is Berber carpet matrilineal? Is there society? Does the carpet have a society? Ask ourselves these things. This is what college is for. Questions you'd like to explore in higher education. So I'd like to go to college, Hardy. I don't know if I can. Don't. I tell you, they got books. Just read books then. Read as many books as you... I'm not putting down college, but I'm saying, oh, there's so much information out there now that you can get your hands on. It's time to expand your mind. Just like it's a fast food place, and they're saying, you know, I think we'd have more business if we put in a playroom. And so they expand, and then they close, because that was wrong. But, you know, just you expanding your mind, I think that would be the right thing to do. I'm pretty sure it would be the right thing to do, and we will fill it with colorful plastic balls, and we're going to jump in it. And those balls, why, no one ball could lift us up. If we had a room full of those thin plastic balls, they would buoy us. They'd buoy us. And we'd be buoyed. You say, you just like saying that. You caught me. Some words are just fun on the mouth, aren't they? And buoy is one. My silken cloak is warm enough. You know it's lined throughout. Besides, I have a silken shawl to tie my neck about. Her bonnet and her gloves were on. She jumped into the sleigh. Away they rode by the mountainside and over the hills away. You know, we all have expectations of coming back alive when we go to a dance, but that's not always the case. I remember a friend one time, he was called over a plumber for a gas problem. Isn't that interesting to handle that? You say, is that part of plumbing? Yes. Anything with a pipe or anything, that's a plumber's problem. Plumber came over and he said, oh, you got a gas leak. It's a good thing you called me. You would have woke up dead. And my friend, who's a bit of a smarty pants, thought that was hilarious. But I tell you what, I know what the plumber was saying about waking up dead. You could. Sometimes you don't expect it. Oh, life isn't going to give you any warning necessarily. All these minutes are precious. You say, why am I listening to your show? I didn't mean to scare you. Are you wasting it? Or are you possibly making an investment in the future? The future you just told me not to expect? Whoops. All right, perhaps if I'm trying to get you to invest in the future, then I should not convince you that there won't be one, right? Oh, this is so difficult. It's so difficult to be an individual and be part of a group. It's so difficult to be an organism and be part of other organisms alive. Whose goals should I fulfill, my own or those of my species? It's very difficult. And when we deal with things like morality, with ethics, we encounter those questions. Is it just about me? Is it just about me and others? Should I feel bad for other people to feel good? And say, what is it, Hardy? Say, I don't know. That's why I just want to do a little dance for you, because I do not know. And I especially don't want you to look at me and ask me, because really all I can tell you is I know the difference between green olives and black olives, but I have to look at them. And that's all I can say for myself, is I'm a very average human being. But like I've said many, many, many times, earwig, but also any port in a storm. This is not necessarily true, because I remember a story of a cruise ship, and I believe it was A Song in Norway, and they had a passenger that was having a heart attack, so the captain needed to pull the boat over real quick. Now, that's hard with a ship. You can't do anything real quick. So he's pulling it over to St. Croix, and he hit something and he grounded the ship. That's because not any port in a heart attack. It's just for storms. Heart attack, specific ports. There you go. And now you don't know, because they didn't really give you anything you can use. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I always want to give you something you can use, not just something I'm trying to get rid of. That's what's so difficult when you re-gift. What is an appropriate thing to re-gift? Love? Love is one of those things you can re-gift without losing it. Is that true? I don't know. I'm going to try it. It's been given to me, and I give it away, and it seems to be bottomless because it's like sourdough starter, isn't it? Take some love, mix it in with your dough, and what are you going to make? You're going to make a big love loaf. You can slice that up and toast it. And I know how to toast things because I was just reading a Samuel Beckett story, and he's talking about toast, and it made me want toast. Did you ever do that? People get inside your head. Say, Samuel Beckett, get out of my head. Trying to tell me to burn my toast. I don't want to. It's difficult sometimes to know where I begin and I end. No, I don't know I know where you begin and I end. I don't know where the music ends and I begin. Well, you say there's no music right now. Well, now it's easy. So it's right here around my ear, I would say. I'm putting my finger on it right now, the area. But once the music starts, I don't know. Gets right into your brain, doesn't it? So many things. Your brain's just absorbent like a sponge. We never used to think about that. We didn't know. In the time of the ancient Egyptians, they just suck all that brain out. They say there's something in there. It's just like goo holding. I guess it's just to keep your head from echoing. But the real seat of knowledge is the penis or something. No, I don't know what they said. They thought the viscera, your guts or something. You're thinking with your guts. I only think with my guts when they're in an uproar. And then they're like a crowd. They're like an angry crowd of farmers. Right? Like during the Swedish courtyard crisis. More militarization, they're saying. Oh, I must have eaten some cheese. I'm lactose intolerant. I wish Gustav the Fifth would stop with his riling up my bowels like this. I learned history from Hardy White talking about pooping. I know, isn't it? How can that possibly be? I think it's because the world is all interconnected. We've learned that from the internet. Everything is so messed up. You are all sorts of other people are all into your computer and everything. Everything is messy. There's more of others in your head than you realize. There's more of this life has its own rules and logic that were going on before you got here. And now you're soaking in it. Just like Mads, just like Palmolive. Except your fingers, there'd be straws and they're sucking it up and the dishwashing liquid is going directly into your brain, which absorbs it all. So whatever went in there, like Charles Ives' music, or fairy tales, or some memory of something done to you in the past, some wrong, that all goes in there. And that becomes you. And then you have to go through all that. There's life in the sound of the merry bells as o'er the hills they go. What a creaking do the runners make as they bite the frozen snow. With muffled face all silently, 5 cold long miles they passed. When Charlie, in a few frozen words, the silence broke at last. Burp. No, he didn't. It'd be terrible. No. There was no burping. It's too cold for that. Burp. Oh, the human body. Sometimes it just seems like we're angels made of light, and other times it just seems like we're sacks of pus. And that's what it must have seemed like to Ephraim McDowell there, digging around in that poor woman's gut. Ah, oh, how did he know what he was looking for? Well, he went to medical school over in Scotland, where they'd cut people up, unlike what they do here. No autopsies against the Lord. So in Europe, they've been doing autopsies for years, so he probably was pretty good with his anatomy. And over here, it's just, well, I know the neck bone's connected to the head bone, but that's all I know. Thank you, doctor. But he was a proper world-class doctor, and he, in fact, I don't want this to get around, he might have done secret autopsies in the basement of his apothecary. Somehow, bodies were spirited down there, and he could cut them open and learn. He was looking and learning, but he was having to violate the law, wasn't he, to save lives, because people's superstition was keeping them from learning. Their superstition, the things they thought they already knew, were blocking the truth. How many things that you think that you already know are blocking the truth? Hi, I'm Hardy White. Many of us feel as if timeshares are a poor investment. I say, are you enjoying your novelty sponge? And all the other stuff that we gave you and your pen that lights up? Then shut up and buy one. I'm here to tell you that you too can get rich the way I have. Now, you may look around this luxury hotel conference room and say to yourself, how did Hardy White achieve all this? How could he possibly have 200 folding chairs provided, 20 of which actually have people in them, though they are scattered about the room as if they all have body odor issues? I say, first question. Yes, how do I become a millionaire like yourself? Well, I'd like to clarify something, and I'm not a millionaire. In fact, this is not my conference. I have stepped in here. I've stepped into this spot. I'm a usurper. I've walked up to this open microphone, and it says, here, this is used to entertain people. Here, use this microphone to make announcements. And I walk up to it, and I say, is this thing on? Is this thing on? This that's connected to your soul. This, a direct line to your brain. This, a telephone line to your cerebellum. I say into it, is this thing on? Who is this person that has standed, stood up or standed? Go ahead and look it up. While you're looking it up, I'm going to continue with what I was saying. Who is this person who stood up like this at this microphone and had something to say? And what are they going to say into it? They're going to say this. I don't know who's listening out there. I know that right now I am all alone. But I do know this. I have felt in my heart a loneliness and a distress, a confusion and a fear. I know that I will not always be here. I know that I may, in the future, experience even more pain and confusion and loneliness. And so I use this as a secret line, of communication to my fellow man, to my fellow woman, to my fellow soul, to other primates, to other creatures, to say, I'm feeling this too. I don't know what this is. I long to be loved and needed. I want to be secretly important. I want to be free of fear. I often am not the person I really am. I often have to pretend that I'm feeling or thinking something different than I am. Is that happening to you? You've no way of saying it back to me, my friend. This is a message in a bottle. And know that other hearts feel the way that you do. You have permission to stop the hatred, to stop the anger. I am nobody calling out to you from the past and the future. Such a night as this I never knew, the reins I scarce can hold. When Charlotte said in a feeble voice, I am exceedingly cold. He cracked his whip and heard his steeds more swiftly than before. Until a length 5 other miles they quickly did pass o'er. You know, is it an emergency? This crisis of fear in the human heart? If so, then we need to call Gage and DeSoto. They're from my youth. There used to be three television channels on, or four sometimes. And a lot of them were about doctors. We love to watch doctors. And that I still love to watch doctor shows. Sometimes they're a little intense now. You know, they used to be just like, doctor, my ear hurts. Oh, it turns out there's a bug in there. But then, you know, in the 70s and all, start getting more graphic. And then on Gage and DeSoto, which was a show when I was young, it was called Kung Fu Gage and DeSoto or something like that. There was a Chinese fella, Gage and DeSoto, and they'd go around doing medical emergencies. And they'd talk to this man in the sky called Rampart. And so say, Rampart, how do we heal them? And he and Barbara Bain would say, well, what happened is they've swallowed the tab of cans, Coke cans and all, soda cans, used to come off. I know. And then people would say, well, I don't know what to do with this. They'd say, well, I'd stick it in my nose. And I go, no, just stick it back in the can, and then you'll drink it by accident. It'll become lodged in your throat. Gage DeSoto and Kane will come, and then they'll have to do a tracheotomy right here at the drive-in. And that's just what happened. That would scare me so as a young person. I'd say, maybe life is a little different than I thought it was. Maybe all of a sudden you go from laughing and drinking a soda like that. Maybe it can disappear so quickly. 2 years later, my grandfather died at home, and I said, oh, I was right. Boy, it just goes, it was here, and now it's gone. So what do we wait? I don't understand what we're waiting for. I don't understand if you have a thought. I don't understand if you have something to say. What are you waiting for? I don't know if you know this. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but tick, 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 now. Same thing with music. You can get that metronome on. That's time right there now. You can take breaks and syncopate. And you can say things not on the beat. Like, take big pauses and rests, right? But that doesn't mean that the song stops. Doesn't mean that the time stops. Just keeps on ticking. Into the future. I didn't say into the future. Tick into the past, too. Just ticking away from now. Ticking away from the present. That's all we know. Ticking into the past. That's where it's going. You can't follow it. Just have to keep going forward. Oh, friends, lift up your face to the sun. Look up right now and shout something out. And people look at you like you're crazy. And you say, how can I be crazy when people have been shouting out their feelings, yelling out to the stars for hundreds of thousands and millions of years, we all primates yell out like that. What's wrong now? Why are you making me act like I'm a fish when I'm an ape? Oh, I'm feeling. Look at the face of a grimacing chimpanzee and emotions that are coursing through thee, says me. Oh, bliss, I can't believe that you and I are all together like this, that we're able to communicate like this before we all disappear. At length, said Charles, how fast the ice is gathering on my brow. Young Charlotte said in a feeble voice, I'm growing warmer now. Still on they glide through the frosty air in the cold starlight. Until at length the village and the ballroom were inside. You know, sometimes we don't want to believe the obvious. Like, oh, my fiancé's freezing to death next to me in the carriage. Or, turns out I don't like hamburgers. Something like that. You know, you never know. Oh, if you keep your eyes open. Well, you're going to need to shut them occasionally because your eyes get sore. That's the way I am. But then I discovered x-ray specs. They really work. All those things that you... But you can't go back now in time. I'm so sorry. Here is a problem with time travel. When I heard about this Dr. Ephraim McDowell performing a successful operation, I thought, well, now he's done something right, but he can't possibly know how to do it. So is it possible that I traveled in time, told him, and then told him, don't tell anybody? that could be. Because then he would have been extra cleanly and all that, but he couldn't say, oh, I did it because of bacteria. I might have told him about bacteria. Now, it could have died with him when he died. I say, would that be a paradox? I don't know. Depends when I heard it. Depends if anybody else had that same thought. Oh, so much about time travel we don't know because we haven't learned yet. But we could stumble upon it. What if we stumbled upon it? That would be something else. You're trying to make that. I was trying to update the software in my phone, and accidentally, I am now in 2030. I don't know how this happened. It's very confusing, and the phone is still not working because now the phone's dated. That could, you know, we don't know. Now, is gullible the same thing as open-minded? I don't know. Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference, isn't it? Sometimes it's hard. How would you know if Ephraim McDowell was crazy, had foresight, had confidence? There's no way to know just by looking at something. There's no way to know. Sometimes only time can tell. Sometimes you have to wait to the end of the story. But what if I don't live that long, Hardy White? That's why join in, make your own dang story. Time to stand up, time to stand up. What are you waiting for? Really, I'm telling you, a lot of times we're just comfort will keep us from greatness because we're waiting, we're a little bit scared, and we don't realize how brief this all is. You look at somebody like Ephraim McDowell's life, who died at 59, he said, boy, got a lot of stuff in there. Now, what if he had been cautious? What if he said, no, I can't. I can't do that. What if I'll wait till another life comes along? And I think sometimes that we think maybe the afterlife is where I'm going to shine. Maybe I'm going to be a real estate agent in the afterlife. And now all I have to do is just kind of like bide my time here. And I think sometimes it keeps us from the being maximally-ish who we are in this life. Oh, fear. I'm going to just call you out right now. Fear, you're disguising yourself as so many different things and getting in our way. And I would just like to right now invite you, soul and body of man, into my guest bedroom. And what you think is a pregnancy, is fear, is bloated with fear. So I want you to lie down on my guest bed, and I'm going to take out my sharp scalpel, and I'm going to have my friends around me, I trust my assistant, Mrs. Carmichael. I know, it's that Mrs. Carmichael, too. Shh. And her brother, Iron Man Carmichael. And we go, are you really performing abdominal surgery in the 19th century with Lucille Ball, Hardy White? Shh. Again, you're going to have to keep your voice down. I would like to cut this out of you. Let's cut that fear out. First incision. They reached the place and Charles jumped out and held his hands for her. Why sit you there like a monument? Have you no power to stir? He asked her once, he asked her twice. She answered not a word. He asked her for her hand again, and yet she never stirred. I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to wait until that happens. I'm not going to pretend that there's not a crisis. I'm not going to pretend. I'm not going to not look over there because I'm afraid what I'll see. I know that there's a crisis. I know that I must lift my voice up and say, put the blanket on you, frozen Charlotte. Wrap yourself up, vain Charlotte. Don't be foolish, foolish Charlotte. It's time to take notice. It's time to take chances. I want you to take the Hardy White Challenge. What's that? It's nothing. I made it up. There's no heart about it. Just do live your life. Open your hearts. Open your minds. That's all. And banish the fear. That's the challenge. And then how will you know about it, Harley, to give out the prizes? Nope, I'm sorry. There's no prize. We all win. We're all going to win. So I don't like this thing now. Everybody gets a trophy. We're living in those days? No. See, I got a trophy. I got one trophy when I was young. Most improved bowler is what I got. And I felt like, were you proud of that trophy? No. It was humiliating. Absolutely humiliating. I felt like it's a basically a used to suck trophy. I go, don't give me a trophy for that. All I did was go from, you know, terrible to where I was supposed to be. Don't give me a trophy for that. And did I give it? I didn't. I made it into a piece of art, but I didn't give it back or anything. I wasn't going to go through all that. I didn't have to explain that. And I just took it because most improved. Because I said, they want to recognize you for the effort. And I said, I didn't need recognition because I knew I was satisfied. My heart, I felt pride. That was my reward. I felt pride that I went from being bad at something to being halfway decent at it through hard work and effort, through dedication. That's why. So there you go. If you'd like my award that I've turned into art, no, I long ago lost it. I should get one made and then do it. Sell it. I could sell it for hundreds of thousands of dollars now, I think. That's not true. Oh, again, there's a difference between deluded and visionary. There's a difference between all those things. Now, how do you know that? Because I asked the phone. The phone knows everything now. I just ask questions. How old's Tony Bennett, 88? It tells me all the time. It tells me that actually I ask it other things and it just keeps telling me that. And I go, why did I not send him a card this year or something? Why are you saying that to me? Bless you, rescue. He took her hands within his own. Oh God, they were cold as stone. He tore the mantle from her brow. The cold stars on her shone. Then quickly to the lighted hall, her lifeless form he bore. Young Charlotte was a frozen corpse and never spoke no more. Oh, that's what'll happen if you don't take your cloak. You see, my friends, take chances. Be like Dr. Ephraim McDowell. Don't literally cut people's bellies open, but I take the chance that you might succeed. You know, it's not unreal. A lot of things are done successfully in ignorance. A lot of things are done successfully in ignorance. A lot could be succeeding or failing right now. But I do know this, like Ephraim, all I'm trying to do is save a life. All I'm trying to do is save one life. That's all. Now, I'm sorry if I got something on you, if I got some guts on you, if I got some blood on you. I'm sorry, but I just don't want you to freeze. I'm just here to say to you, put that cloak on you. Cover up. It's cold out there. Look out for others. Look out for other people. Believe that you can help them. You know, do what you can. Believe you can help yourself. And believe you can live without fear. And take this life by some organ. Pick an organ. Study anatomy and say, I'm going to grab the pancreas of this damn life and I'm not going to let go. I'm going to stick my hand right in it. Yes, I want you to stick your hand right in it like it's a bowl of peeled grapes at a child's Halloween-themed birthday party and they're supposed to be eyeballs. That's not guts, it's spaghetti. Well, that one's guts. That one is spaghetti. No, actually, they're both guts. I'm sorry, they're both guts. Listen, child's father is a pathologist. This is a nasty part. I apologize for that. If anybody was squeamish at the actual bowl of eyeballs, again, we couldn't be more sorry. But what a cool kid. I don't even know, Hardy, what I'm listening to anymore. That's why we have, they tell you that the government makes you say what station and everything. Because most people don't know what they're listening. They get disoriented. I didn't mean to disorient you. If you say, I thought it was my navigation on my car, and it's you. back. Turn right. Turn left here. Turn left on. Let's try this. I don't want to get you hurt. You're driving down the street. I want you to just turn right on the next street that begins with an A. Just for fun. Don't get yourself hurt or anything. And if it's a neighborhood that you're not used to, don't get lost. But just take a turn. Take a detour. Right now. To see what you'll discover. Snap yourself out of the sameness. Wake yourself up. You are alive. You are alive. You're not dead in a carriage. You're not frozen dead. You might not die. That thing in your gut. You are still alive. You have no guarantee for tomorrow, neither do I. But right now, sick or well, you are still alive because you hear my voice. And you have lots of living to do. And you can live tons right in this single moment right now. You and I have eternity. Oh, we got away with something, friend. Hardy White, you brought me time. It was all folded up. I didn't know. And then I unfolded it, and I saw how huge it was. You're welcome. Thanks a lot. I give those to all my friends on their birthdays.
He sat himself down by his side, and the bitter tears did flow. He said, my dear intended bride, I never more shall know. He threw his arms around her neck and kissed her marble brow. And his thoughts went back to the place where she said, I'm getting warmer now.
Do you feel like you're getting warmer? I mean, not feverish. Do you feel like you're getting a little closer? Say, oh, Hardy, I feel like I'm reaching something. I feel like I'm getting warmer, 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 colder, hotter. This is what they play, that game. So am I getting near it? Warmer. You're getting warmer. You're burning up. You're burning up. You're on fire. You burn up. Your ashes. You're gone. Timmy. Timmy. Sometimes literally got to be careful if you're looking for something that's really that hot. Be super careful. You found the dwarf star. So I apologize. Oh, I don't even know. What am I listening to? Here, I'm going to tell you. You're listening to Miracle Nutrition. That's probably what the problem is. WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, or WFMU.org, or 91.9 in Rockland County, where this tale first took place in 1870. No, I don't know. That's not true. A lot of the facts, a lot of little historical facts that I say aren't literally true. All right, a lot of history that we know is not lit. There was literally no George Washington. We know that now. Oh, no, there was. There was George. I'm thinking of Moses. Perhaps there was no literal Moses or Abraham. We do not know. So how could you say such blasphemy? I just said I don't know, man. If you know, I know because I was told. Very good, then. There you go. Bless you. I have a threshold of evidence, but that's just me. But generally, I do believe a lot of nonsense. Don't think I don't. And maybe I choose to believe things that aren't true. And the most important thing I choose to believe that may or may not be true is that there is a way for human beings to live together without bringing more violence upon one another, without making the world more difficult than it is. It's hard enough. It's hard enough without the fear in our hearts polluting it. And so maybe I am deluded into thinking that we can do something about that. That by paying attention, that we can notice the freezing Charlotte next to us. That by having courage, we can save lives without even knowing how we did it.
He put the corpse into the sleigh and quickly hurried home. And when he reached the cottage door, oh, how her parents mourned. They mourned for the loss of their daughter dear, and young Charlie mourned for his bride. He mourned until his heart did break, and they slumber side by side.
My God, I'll be around when the world. went in a valley one day to pray. I didn't go there to stay. My soul got so happy, children.
Yeah.
And there I stayed all day. I'm gonna tell it. Christian Jack will be hard to run.
Yes.
She keep your hand in the wide chain. You never have to worry anymore.
Yes. I believe that I'll
set still
away.
Come on. Thank you.